The Saturday afternoon show. I'm Tom Rowe, and I'm here in Acre at the Study Center Wave Farm with Brian House. And Brian has been here. Oh, how many days have you been here, Brian?
What is it? This is day 10, something like that?
Day 10. And
I just made that up.
And you, so you're the artist in residence here at the Wave Farm Study Center. Do you want to tell folks what you're doing here? What have you been working on, or what have you been tinkering with?
Well, a lot of taking it in, you know, a lot of walking through the farm and the beautiful property here and listening to the sounds, some of which you're hearing. You know, so that's been a part of it, trying to have a little meditation on the rhythms. But then, yeah, working on a project for broadcast as well, which will be next week, next Saturday.
Do you want to give everyone a little hint, or you're going to be mysterious?
You just want me to explain
it?
The whole thing, right?
Well, you don't have to explain it all. You can give them a hint, or
sure.
Or you could give them a false narrative to lower their expectations.
Well, you know, so something that I've been interested in the last couple of years of my practice has been rhythm. So. You know, in the entirety of my practice, you know, as a musician, as someone who's interested in everyday life, who's interested in the city, who's interested in nature, you know, the way rhythm is a way that we talk about patterns that are present in all these things, and the idea of sync, right? Whether that's two people walking down the street together, you know, joining in time, or whether it's some big media event that we experience online, and what that means to form, you know, a community that's experiencing these things, you know, in real time, but mediated over some technology. Recently I've been especially interested in how rhythm and data fit together, you know, data being, this encoding, this information, this way that we take time and make it into a number that we can store, right? And so the temporal aspects of data are something that I find intriguing, right? The data can cause you to get up in the morning. Data buzzes in your pocket when you get a text message. You know, data in the form of, you know, an email or something. You know, it changes your emotional state throughout the day. And so what rhythms are produced by data, and is this different than what was before and what was not? So, you know, in thinking about what to do with the wave farm, you know, I was very interested in this idea of the role that radio has played in forming community. The way that radio, you know, is broadcast out from a tower, it propagates through these, you know, physical waves, over a given geography, in the way that, you know, here, I mean, you have the Catskills, you have the Hudson, you have, you know, physical features that modify how that reception works, right?
So they're saltier here than they are in the city, the waves?
Is that what it is? Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, there's a community of listenership, and I've it's been fun hanging out with people that, you know, that are loyal WGXE listeners, you know, in my time here. And there's some analog.
You've met all four of them, huh?
Yeah. I think there's a couple more hiding out in the woods somewhere. And, you know, that kind of spatiality to it, you know, it called to mind for me, you know, this idea of the bell tower. So, you know, reading, you know, from Soundscape, you know, this idea of communities and towns and you know, in Europe and America, you know, before these other kind of technologies came in, you know, there was a community formed by the sound, the acoustics of this bell, you know, ringing from the church tower. There was, you know, a circumference to that sound that kind of informed the group of people to be in sync, right? To have a certain shared rhythm of when they got up, when they did things, when they went to the market, etc.
It was the Twitter feed of its day.
It was, right? It was, right. And, but you know, but it has qualities maybe are different than Twitter has for us now, but had the same kind of like social significance.
You got a little tiny piece of information if you heard the bells ringing. You knew it was either Sunday morning or something had happened and the people wanted you to come to the town, you know, or whatever. It's, you got something out of those bells ringing.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know it's ambient, but you have this awareness that's going on. It's part of the kind of information content of your surroundings. So you feel it. It's acoustic, yeah, but there is some information happening there. And just thinking about, okay, that started with a call to prayer, right? Historically, or even
Probably it was a call to battle before that.
Okay,
I mean,
call to battle.
Usually the technology is developed from the military and then spring out into
to religion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you have the minaret or, these kind of, soundscape elements. But with the clock, you have something interesting that happens, right? Because suddenly this is mechanized. It's not something going up and ringing the bell tower when it feels like this is time or, by watching the sun or whatever. Now you have a mechanism in there. And you can imagine from town to town, there's different mechanisms that are maybe competing in certain ways or have their own idea of standardized time. So you have a standardized community that's technologically formed.
I think there's parts of Indiana like that still today.
They have their own kind of...
idea about time. I think they have arguments over whether they're in Eastern or Central. So there's an hour difference,
right,
when there's no difference at all.
Right. So you have... the time zone. What is a time zone? A time zone is a pretty crazy...
If you think, what is time anyway, I mean, at least it's 24 hours is based on the turning of the planet. So there's something there.
There is something, right? But how we encode that, what we call that, we don't need a clock to tell us that the sun has arrived, right? But there's something in that. There's something else in that. Saying that it's, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, time to be... at work, up and at him, right? Henry Lefebvre, there's his book Rhythm Analysis, and he kind of breaks it down. There's cyclical rhythms that are mediated by those natural processes, whether it's astronomical or whether it's your cycle of being hungry, And then there's these things like alarm clocks that intervene on that. You feel it, right?
Or roosters.
Rupture. Right, I'm not sure where roosters would fit in, because they definitely... I was about to say, you feel the rupture, there's an anger there, there's an irritation, but that certainly happened with roosters.
Well, I'm sorry to throw off your whole...
No, please. time is... anxious, right? Time is something that cliche of a modern society running around trying to fit everything into the hours in the city. You can argue that has been something that becomes amplified with network technologies as we progress down this path. And time on the internet is a strange thing, right? It you're suddenly really disrespecting these kind of physical, astronomical, cyclical.
It doesn't get dark phenomena. As often on the internet.
I mean, yeah, the sun never sets on the internet, right? And you have this stream. It's not something that you check the internet, you check it again. I mean, it's almost a frozen moments. Like a series of these things that are almost discontinuous, but unrelenting, So there's some sadness in Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, I think. But this is the world we live in, and this is an inescapable way in which we now structure our everyday life. And these things are constructed of data, right? And you have something like what's happening with the revelations about the NSA that make you think, okay, this is for real. These things become how we define who we are as a, as individuals, as a community, as whatever. It's, you know, these bits of information. And, you know, looking at how we relate to those on an everyday level, I think is something that we've only kind of begun to do. I just kind of went down the rabbit hole there.
So you came to Wave Farm to solve the time-space continuum.
Right. I think two weeks is enough.
And it's at day 10, so you're getting close.
Yeah, right. Is it day? No, I don't know. I just made that up. So you lose track of time, you know, sitting in the hammock. Yeah. You know, waiting for the woodchuck to come. In any case, you know, so radio occupies this space of being a, you know, community forming technology, one that's geographically constrained in a particular way. But it's also not, you know, fundamentally acoustic like a bell, right? This is, you know, electromagnetic. It's a signal that's put out. And there's information that's interpreted by, you know, your radio receiver and whatnot. And, you know, so I thought it'd be interesting to create a bell for radio, create a striking clock, you know, that would count off the hours, that would go out over the radio. But rather than count the hours, you know, in kind of a traditional way, I thought it would be interesting to take that sound that happens periodically and make it into a sonification of the data that's transpired in the hour previous, right? So you have basically the way the piece works, you have an hour of time goes by, and you have data collected in that hour that's then compressed down into a one-minute piece that plays at the end of that hour. And the data that I've been working with, the idea is that it's constrained to what's relevant to the geographic area of the broadcast itself. But within that constraint, I'm interested in pulling from all these different levels. So astronomical, of course, so the sun, the tides of the Hudson being an estuary. You have weather phenomenon, so wind turned out to be particularly interesting, how that moves through the valley. Heat, of course, visibility, I think, is an interesting quality from a weather perspective. So there's that level. Then you have this social media level. What are people doing and putting, you know, on the internet, online, right? And, you know, I'm sure the NSA could come up with some more interesting data sets to work with. But for me, what's available, so Twitter. So who's posting things on Twitter that are tagged, you know, within this geographic area? Also Foursquare, a sense of where people are going and how often they're going. Are they going to a place that they want to announce as a social space? So you have that level of things. And then, you know, there's the studio here at the Wave Farm, and there's a particular kind of environment that's happening. It's been very nice, you know, hanging out here and listening to the sounds and watching the animals go by. So I created a series of sensors to put around the farm. And these measure, you know, things that are happening on a very kind of local, specific, physical level, right? So there's little computers put in these hutches that Matt Bua helped me with. And they're listening for events that happen, you know, sound events, like the birds.
Telephones ringing.
Telephone ring. Exactly. You know, things that are happening in the environment. At night, I mean, the frogs go crazy. You know, there's that. There's animal noises that I have yet to identify that they've picked up. And then motion sensors, those through video, you know, things going by. I mean, today there was a group of deer that I saw. The woodchuck likes to say hello on the porch. You know, these things, you know, can be registered by a camera, and they become, okay, something happened at this moment in time. That becomes a piece of data. So we have all these levels, you know, astronomical, weather, you know, social media, local events here at the Wave Farm. And then all of those become bells, essentially. And what it is the rate of the tolling of these bells corresponds to the amount of activity in these given data sources. And so the result, you know, you hear a piece that should be familiar hour to hour. It's largely, you know, in some sense the same, but the micro melodies that are formed by the different rates of tolling say something about the data that happened in the hour before. Is that a good explanation? Don't have this down.
And so you're embedding satanic messages backwards into the packets,
right? Exactly. I think that was last night's show.
It may have been, yes. And so this is going to be a kind of radio community bell for a 21st century radio community bell or something.
Right. Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, you know, the idea is to see, okay, what does it mean to measure time? How are we measuring it? What does it mean to translate between something that happens in the physical environment to data, you know, to music, to radio signal, broadcast it out of the same that same surface? You know, what do those different translations mean? But yeah, it's just supposed to work as a nice thing that you hear, you know, every so often. And then hearing this over the course of the day, maybe you begin to notice what those changes are and begin to intuitively or subconsciously, you know, put those together with what you're experiencing in the VR environment. That's kind of the idea. The name of the piece, it has been working title for a while, but it's going to be Change Ringing FM. So change ringing being the kind of traditional practice of sequencing how bells are rung in a bell tower, which has a whole mathematics associated with it on how these things are sequenced and how they're permeated. And so this draws inspiration from that. It doesn't follow those rules. It follows this kind of other set of temporal rules, but there's kind of a connection between the two of them.
And yeah. So give it the title again. It's Change Ringing
FM.
Change Ringing FM.
Yeah.
And that's going to be next Saturday, July 20th, from midnight to midnight or midnight to 6 a.m.? Midnight until 6 a.m.? I think we can do midnight.
Well, so the 24-hour cycle, right? So one
or 30. I mean, I'm just saying we can do 30 hours from Friday midnight to Sunday.
We could just
6 a.m.
keep it going.
Yes.
And the FM also. I thought I'd be cute in this. So all the sound is generated through FM synthesis. So they're meant to evoke bells, but not be bells exactly. And I can play an example of this.
Sure, that would be great. Yeah, let me. If you have your volume up, I think we're ready.
Yeah, probably. We'll play one from. It's from last night at 9 or so. Let's see.
So that would have been during the deep listening, or may have been the part where we went off the air slightly.
There we go.
And we're back on the Saturday afternoon show, and you're listening to, we're talking to Brian House, who's been the Wavefarm resident for the past 9 or 10 days, something like that. And does that piece have a name that we just heard, Brian?
Change Ringing FM.
That's that is Change Ringing FM. Okay.
Well, there's a, you know,
it's a piece of it.
It's a piece in the piece. It's actually the 12th day.
12th day.
Been 12 days.
So it's gone by quickly then.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about other projects? We just have a few minutes left, or do you want to tell us more about your time here?
Sure. I mean, you know, some of the other things that I've been working on are similar in spirit, you know, connecting data and rhythm and time and trying to embody those things, you know, to see. I mean, rhythm is always relative, right? It has a perspective to it. It's a lived time. So taking data and translating it into sound, I think, restores a certain subjectivity to it, right? Makes it experiential. And, you know, this is all stuff we know from jamming and bands and, you know, just the normal kind of musical practice, right? But it, you know, there's a certain foreignness to working with data in this way, I think. Let's see. So
data is somehow thought of as neutral and not collaborative. Is that what you mean? Or
yeah, well, neutrality is a good way to think of it, or objective, right? You know, people think of data as neutral, as objective, as cold, you know, these certain kind of qualities that we put into it. But I think all of those are false, really. Data always has a perspective. It's always, you know, in reference to some kind of
measurement system that's placed onto it from outside, like the time thing. It's what is an hour? It's, you know.
Yeah. And these are things that, you know, that people have come up with, you know, that are embodied people that have a particular perspective. So restoring that, putting that back is something that, you know, I've been interested in doing. You know, and sometimes that gets a little, let's see, I can play this one. It's a little contentious. You know, there's an incident that happened, just thinking about data, in Massachusetts, the Lieutenant Governor Tim Murray, he crashed his car in the middle of the night, and this was kind of a media frenzy a little while back. In the middle of the night, no one knows what he was doing, other than driving 108 miles an hour without his seatbelt, you know, in a straight line off the side of the road into a rock wall. He was okay. The car was totaled. We know that version of events because of data that was recovered from the black box data recorder, you know, in the car. So in this framework, data becomes a piece of storytelling, right? It becomes, you know, a framework for constructing, you know, certain narratives. And I'm interested in that, how that kind of plays out. And so, you know, a piece that I worked on, you know, recently was to make a, to translate that data source to an actual performance with two guitars and a saxophone, you know, to interpret it, to, you know, embody it, and to point out that data is always a performance of sorts, right? And yeah, I'm going to play that piece later on
this evening. From 6 to 7:30, you prepared a playlist, or you prepared some examples of. Tell us what it is you've prepared.
Yeah, so there's that one. There's another piece I've done called Quotidian Record, which is from my own location data, as I, over the course of a year, recorded every place that I went through a, you know, mobile phone tracking, not unlike what the NSA listens to, and translated that into sound and compressed it to an 11-minute piece. So you can hear this year unfold in 11 minutes, and these kind of micro melodies that develop as I, you know, go through my daily commutes and when those shift. So we'll hear that. We'll hear some other surprises. yeah.
All right. That's after 6 p.m. After the presidential weekly radio address and the Republican response, you'll hear directly.
And oh, good.
I guess we just have a couple more minutes before we head back to Troy for the Deep Listening Conference, continuing there. Do you want to tell us, do you have any things coming up you want to tell us about? Or?
Well, I've been working hard here. This is now I'm going to go on vacation for a while.
So, but again, next Saturday from midnight on the hour, you'll hear these this bell piece that's called Change
Ringing FM.
And so that'll begin at midnight after Hotline Radio on WGXC next Saturday morning, July 20th, Friday night, Saturday morning. Midnight, people get confused what day it is. So we're here at the Wayfarm talking to Brian House, and we're about to head back to Troy in a few minutes. What else? Do you want to tell us about anything else before we go, or hint at anything else that's going to come up later on between 6 and 7:30 when you're...
I learned about a lot of conspiracy theories last night's broadcast. I can get back into that.
You were, Brian sat in on Deep But Not Profound, the Tom Skorymbas, Matt Bua conspiracy theory sort of show that airs on the 13th of the month at midnight, every month on the 13th of the month. And there in the background is the Deep Listening Conference. Sounds like they're not quite ready, so we can continue to talk a little bit, or you could play something else if you'd like, or... We could just ring bells ourselves in here if
you know, I might play there's a sample of bells ringing. I was in Cleveland briefly, and this was also part of the inspiration for this piece was waking up to, I don't know exactly what the event was, but this went on for a while. So I was recording this out of my hotel window, which, you know, thankfully it was directly across from the bell tower. Maybe that's why the room was cheap. But, you know, this is part of the inspiration, so I'll play some of this.
All right. Quite have that. It was playing fine before. Is it quiet? And I'm not.
Dunno.
Oh. Airtel, you're listening to WGXC. We're talking to Brian House and waiting for the four more presentations to start from Deep Listening Conference. We're going to hear from Michelle Nagai, Gail Young, Mark Nazimi, and Ralph Martin Niedenthal in just a few minutes. Some ending there.
What was that?
I'm not sure. But what were we hearing there? Those were the Cleveland Bells?
Those are the Cleveland Bells, yeah.
And
I think, you know, there's a peal of bells, right, which is a series of changes and a, you know, appeal can be a very long performance, right? So just reading up a little bit in the history of bell ringing, you know, this is a very kind of vibrant community and a certain endurance test, you know, to play bells in a changing sequence for, you know, what could be hours and hours, you know, a 5-hour performance would be a complete kind of peal of bells. And so, you know, there's a difference here. I mean, you have the carillon, which is controlled by a keyboard when you have, like, melodies being played. But this is where you have one person per bell, you know, each person playing their part. So it's kind of, a fascinating structure around this. And, you know, Brian Eno, there's this work that he created for the Long Now Foundation, and thinking about, okay, what would a change ringing piece be if it was constructed, you know, over this period of time that the clock, Long Now clock, is constructed for, which is what, 10,000 years or something. So these kind of very long form durational pieces, that was, an influence in his work is great in that regard, you know, and taking time and expanding it out. You know, what I'm doing is compressing it, but working with those timescales, I think, is a fun thing to do. Again, you know, it's how we relate to these things, how we choose to measure time, and represent that, and then, you know, experience those representations.
Yeah, I guess the bell really is kind of a good metaphor for radio in some ways. Just the waves, you can almost feel the waves, you know, in a way that you can't with any kind of other musical instrument. In some ways, it seems like a really apt metaphor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, there's, you know, this physical transmission, and of course, you know, we're bombarded with radio waves constantly from these different sources we have. There's a physicality to radio, you know, that isn't maybe acknowledged. There's a physicality to data exchange over the internet that's not acknowledged. I mean, we were talking about with this piece the actual kind of steps that things traverse. You know, you have data that's generated, you know, on site at the wave farm, and then that's pushed up to a server, which who knows where that exists. You know, it could be in California, say, you know, and that's pulled down by a machine that's here again. So we've already gone across the country twice. You know, the sound is generated. That's pushed again to, you know, the digital broadcast, which could be back across the continent. So there's, you know, there's a kind of a physicality that's like spans a very large geography, you know, that's involved in just putting, you know, something like this, you know, out over the radio that's ostensibly local. So those networks, I think, are interesting to trace. It's not necessarily something you think about.
All right. Well, I just heard that the deep listening folks are ready, so we're going to have to go. But we're going to be back to your sounds at 6 p.m. Tonight, and then next week, next Saturday, starting at midnight, Friday morning, Saturday night. All right. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. We'll see you soon. And wow. Now head to deep listening.